First off, last time I was up there in front of a microphone, first thing I did was throw my wife under the bus for not coming up here when it was her birthday. And I wasn't in here when my week was up a couple weeks ago. So just so we're even, it was my birthday a few weeks ago. All right, now that that's out of the way, I don't mean for this message tonight to come across as if I'm talking about myself, but this is just something over the last few weeks since the youth retreat, Youth Alive, went up to Mountaintop a couple of weeks ago, and this is something the Lord's really been working on me through that rally that retreat that was up there. So there may be a few things where I say me or I, and it's just the Lord's been working, and so those are just some things I might share. A few years ago, well, no, man, I guess it was like 8 years ago, I got on an airplane. I was in Quincy, Illinois. I got on an airplane. Well, I hadn't gotten on the airplane yet. I got to the airport, and I get in this line, and we get up there. We're checking in, giving my name and give her my ID and put my luggage up, and then she says, "Okay, Mr. Westcott, how much do you weigh?" I said, "What?" She said, "How much do you weigh?" I said, "What does that matter?" And she said, "Well, we need to know everybody's weight when they get on the plane." It was one of those little prop planes. And she said, "We need to know everybody's weight so we order enough fuel, you know, for the plane." And I was thinking, okay, I'm not sure I want to get on this plane. Because I know me, I'm if I know what my weight is, I'll tell you. But I just think, you know, not to bring my wife up again, but if I were to say, "Hey, how much do you weigh?" Is she going to tell me the truth? You know, and how many other people on that plane are actually telling the truth as to what their weight is? I don't want to run out of fuel halfway to the St. Louis airport. It was a scary situation. Weight is just one of those issues that people sometimes don't want to talk about, and it can be a little sensitive, and you know, you're never supposed to ask a woman how much she weighs. And there's excuses for people's weight sometimes. I know we've had a lot of doctor's appointments. We've had a couple babies here as of recent, and you know, just all these different doctor's appointments, and you always hear, now my wife, she's not big at all, but she'll always make excuses. You know, "Well, I had my shoes on, and I was carrying the diaper bag, and maybe I shouldn't be sharing all this, but, you know," and you'll hear people will say, "Well, my hair was all wet when I got out of the shower, and I just ate a big meal last night, and it's still maybe with me." So people always make these excuses about maybe how much they weigh or why they're not the weight they want. Then there's those rare few people, and I know of one person. I don't see him here today, but one of those rare people that not many of us like too much, but they say, "I've tried everything, and I just cannot gain any weight." And so you'll run into those people. Well, that's kind of, so all that to kind of get into the message tonight is going to be about stepping on the scale. And as humans, none of us want to step on the scale and, you know, it says error or, you know, doesn't have a reading. But as Christians, we need to be able to step on a spiritual scale, if you will, and it needs to go all the way up. This is one thing Eric said, and maybe I should ask him if I could copyright this. It's not word for word. It's a pretty loose paraphrase, but this is something he said that's just really been working on me. He said, if you look at your spiritual life on, all right, today's the 2nd, so if you look at your spiritual life, December 2nd, 2015, and where you're at right now, and you think back a year ago, December 2nd, 2014, have you grown at all spiritually? And, you know, I don't mean to stand up here and air out all my dirty laundry or anything, but, you know, when he asked me that, I was thinking, well, I've been really busy. And, you know, we had the baby, we bought a house, we're trying to fix it up. And I thought, wait a minute. There is no excuse that I could come up with that would be big enough as to why I wouldn't have grown spiritually in the last year. I'm not saying that I didn't, but when he asked that, at first it was like, oh man, have I? I mean, how many people, and this isn't just meant for me, but as you guys are out there thinking, how many people in the last year have you talked about the Lord to, or have you led to the Lord? And I'll get into some of these other things later, but so that was kind of the overall theme that stuck with me. Was if I were to think back 1 year ago, have I grown at all spiritually? If you have your Bibles, turn to John, 1 John chapter 2, verses 3 to 6. This is kind of just a, not where we're going to necessarily be spending all our time, but this is kind of the template for what we're going to look at here. 1 John chapter 2, verses 3 to 6. I'm reading out of the New Living Translation. It says, "And we can be sure that we know Him if we obey His commandments. If someone claims, 'I know God,' but doesn't obey God's commandments, that person is a liar and is not living in the truth. But those who obey God's word truly show how completely they love Him. This is how we know we are living in Him. Those who say they live in God should live their lives as Jesus did." And so when I think back over the last year, how many times have I not been living the way that Jesus did? And I don't have specific references for all these little points that I'm about to list off here. But as you read through, especially through four books of the gospel, we can, I'm sure, all agree on these things. So how did Jesus live? Well, he lived as a servant. And I know just one story off the top of my head, we think of him as he was washing the disciples' feet and serving them. He came to serve, not to be served. He lived through prayer. Even when it was something that he did not want to do, he went and took that to the Lord and prayed about it. And he still went through with dying on the cross for us. Loving the unloved. I mean, you think multiple times in the New Testament do we see Christ go into the people who aren't loved, the ones that have diseases, who aren't welcome, the sinners, and the ones that aren't the religious folk of the day. He got angry only when it mattered. So we do see that the Lord got angry. But the two times that I found in the New Testament was obviously when he was throwing the people that were, handling money and stuff in the temple, threw those out. But the other time was when he was being questioned in Mark chapter 3. Actually, we can just turn there real quick. Mark chapter 3, verse 5. I'll just read it. It's just one verse. And it says, he looked around at them. This is where he was being questioned for healing the diseased fella. It says, he looked around at them angrily and was deeply saddened by their hard hearts. And then he said to the man, hold out your hand. And then it goes on and he healed him. But he was angered because the people around him, their hearts were so hard, they didn't even fully understand. They'd taken the law so far to the point of legalism. So that was one thing. We see God got angry, but only when it mattered. He spoke the truth unashamedly, and he was humble. We can see that all through the gospel. So looking at our last year of spiritual life, have we grown at all? What are some ways that we can grow? Using, obviously, Jesus as the ultimate template for what we should be living our lives like. If we base what we think a spiritual person looks like off of man, we've already set the wrong goal, because ultimately man will fail. And maybe we won't see them fail, but we're not perfect. And our ultimate template for what we need to be striving for is looking at Jesus Christ and how he lived. We need to move our beverages out of reach. And what I mean by that is I can remember back when I was a, I don't really know, there's no clocks around. I've got a few minutes left. I remember back when I was growing up, we'd be sitting around the table, and all of a sudden my dad would reach over and grab my drink and move it far away from me. And he would say, quit drinking that. You're going to fill up on water, milk, whatever it is. We need to move that way. I see that now with Emma, our one-year-old. She's constantly, you put something in front of her, and if it's, you know, she's got spaghetti, she's going to go for the water and fill up on that. So we need to move our beverages out of the way. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 to 3, some of y'all probably have this memorized, but I'm going to read it here. For the sake of time, I'm going to start reading if you're still flipping there. But it says, dear brothers and sisters, when I was with you, I couldn't talk to you as I would to spiritual people. I had to talk to you as though you belonged to this world, or though you were infants in Christ, or as though you were infants in Christ. I had to feed you with milk, not solid food, because you weren't ready for anything stronger. And you still aren't ready, for you are still controlled by your sinful nature. You are jealous of one another and quarrel with each other. Doesn't that prove that you are controlled by your sinful nature? Aren't you living like the people of the world? And the other reference, Hebrews chapter 5, verses 11 to 14. It says, there is much more we would like to say about this, but it's difficult to explain, especially since you are spiritually dull and don't seem to listen. You have been believers so long now that you ought to be teaching others. Instead, you need someone to teach you again the basic things about God's Word. You are like babies who need milk and cannot eat solid food. For someone who lives on milk is still an infant and does not know how to do what is right. Solid food is for those who are mature, who through training have the skill to recognize the difference between right and wrong. And I guess I'm finally at that point in life where, so long I've heard people, they'd be standing up to speak and say, well, they'd share stories about their kids. Well, now I can do that because I have some kids. And we've got one that no longer, well, I mean, she still drinks milk, but she was all the way on milk. Then she moved into some squishy foods, and now she's on solid foods. And milk is just a part of her diet. And our other little girl, Joy, is strictly just on milk. And I see, that's something I understood before, you know, I had kids, and, you know, anyone can understand that. People need milk to survive. But now as a parent and seeing the kids grow up and how much they really do need milk, but milk only gets them so far. You know, eventually they need to start having solid food. So there comes a time when milk is just a part of your meal, not the whole thing. And we need solid food to continue to mature. The next thing, and you can tell part of this was based off of Eric Shelley, have a workout buddy. I don't know if that makes sense to everybody or just people who have heard him speak at camp, but he tends to share a lot of stories about being at the gym. Proverbs 27:17 says, as iron sharpens iron, so a friend sharpens a friend. And not just necessarily having a workout buddy that can help you in our spiritual life, but one thing that I know that's helped me is, obviously, I don't do a lot of working out anytime recently, but when I was, probably the best thing for me was to work out with somebody that was a little bit beyond where I was at, because that helps to push you. If you're a runner, you don't want to run with people in a group of people that are slower than you. You would like to run with a group of people that are faster than you, so you have to try and keep up with them, and it pushes you. So surround ourselves with people that can lift us up, not tear us down. And so, in closing, I'll just say it one more time. If you look at your spiritual life on today's date, which is December the 2nd, 2015, has it improved or have you grown at all from 1 year ago? If you want to be able to say yes in a year from now, it's time to start applying some changes today. So that in 2016, you can say, yes, you have grown. And you can easily think of different circumstances or things where the Lord has brought you along and grown you spiritually. These are just a couple of questions that when Eric was speaking, I was thinking of. And these are just practical things, and I'm sure they would apply to you too. But why am I not taking notes? You know how many messages I used to sit in here and I've been doing it now for 3 weeks. But I would sit in here and hear Mark or others talk, and I'm not taking notes. You know, that's really sad because I'm the type of person that if I meet somebody new, within about 30 seconds, I've already forgotten their name. So you can imagine as you're sitting through an entire sermon, how much of that am I really remembering? You know, why was I not taking notes? Going back, looking at them, seeing what was talked about, and growing from that. Am I in the Word every day? And not just, you know, I read today, check, but are you reading every day? I started doing a, where you read a little bit in the Old Testament, a little bit in the New Testament, Psalms and Proverbs. And it's very, I guess you could say it's exciting because it's just giving you so many different things from different areas. You don't feel like, you know, you're stuck in Leviticus for 3 months or something. So am I in the Word every day? Am I regularly talking about the Lord to the people that I'm with? I work with a group of people that there's a couple believers, but then there's some rough guys that are there. Most of them have been to jail and different things. And, you know, am I talking about the Lord to them? Is that somebody I see every single day? And then am I running with somebody who's faster than me? I went to Liberty University. I was there for 1 year when Jerry Falwell was still alive. And this is what I was saying earlier, where we don't want to necessarily base how to grow spiritually off of a person. The Lord should be our example of what it looks like to live spiritually. But I don't think it's a bad thing to look at what other believers do in ways that they grow. He preached pretty much the same message every Wednesday when he got up for chapel. The title was Being Champions for Christ. And he said, if it's Christian, it ought to be better. But a couple of things that he did every single day, he would get up early in the morning. And I believe it was either for 3 or 4 hours. I don't mean to brag on him, he would read from the Bible, do a one-year Bible plan. He'd open up his devotional and read from My Utmost for His Highest by Oswald Chambers. And then he would spend time in prayer for hours every morning, going through a prayer list of praising God for answered prayer. And just bringing new requests to him, and he'd keep a list and keep track of all of these things. And, you know, what an encouragement that can be to somebody who's younger, like me, to look at somebody who's done such great things for the Lord, just in my own time. You know, I wasn't necessarily, Billy Graham's still alive, but I wasn't really conscious for the big parts when he was doing his crusades and stuff. But Jerry Falwell is somebody that, you know, I saw the effects of what his spiritual life and his prayer life led to. And so what an encouragement that could be to me. So I hope this wasn't just a bunch of rambling up here, and that it was something that could challenge you as we look ahead to this next year. We're getting close to the new year when everybody makes big commitments, and they usually don't last very long. I hope that December 2nd, 2016, we can look back and all say that we have grown spiritually. Let's close. Lord, thank you for this service that we can come together, meet as a body of believers, and just bring different requests to you and praises to you, and just thank you for answered prayer that you have answered. And we know that you continue to work. And we just ask as we depart and go our different ways here to finish out the rest of the week, that we would strive to grow spiritually every day. And that in 1 year from now, as we look back and think, you know, what was I doing last December? Just remember anything from this message and hopefully be able to think back and remember the times that the Lord has worked in your life and the things that you've done and the things He's used to help you grow spiritually, whether it would be good times or He's bringing you through trials and you're growing through that. Again, we just pray for safety as we head out and depart our ways and finish up the week and ask that You'd bring us back if it'd be Your will here on Sunday. And ask all these things in Your name. Amen.